Good morning, and please be seated. My name is Brenda Reindl, and I am your duty elder for today. I would like to welcome everyone who is here with us today, and a warm welcome back for Reverend Mo Anderson, who, of course, is no stranger to any of us. If you are a visitor with us today, if you could sign the guest book, which you'll find by the front door, we would appreciate it. We promise we will not hound you. And we just like to know who's been here, where you're from, and the minister would like to also know who's been visiting with us. There are a couple of announcements that I'd like to bring to your attention. One is in the bulletin, and it's the one about Thanksgiving, which, yes, is quickly approaching. We are looking for donations of non-perishable foods. There will be a box available for the donations, but you can bring them in during the week and put them in the office. Renata would be happy to accept them. The other announcement is not in the bulletin, but I would like to bring to your attention. We are in need of Sunday school assistants. So you will notice I did not say Sunday school teachers, because I noticed as soon as I say teachers, everybody looks up at the fan, they look down at their nails, they'll look everywhere but at me. What we need is we have teachers, but we require two people in the classroom at a time. And right now we need someone to assist the teachers. So all you have to do is help the kids with their glue, with cutting, showing them where the washroom is. So if you are interested in assisting us, we would really, really appreciate it. And you can see me or Donna or Denise after the service today, and we would be happy to slot you into the schedule. We will take a moment to prepare for worship.
As I light this candle, we're reminded that the light of Christ continues to burn in our lives. And as we enter into a moment of silence, let us invite that presence into each of our thoughts.
Responsive call to worship can be found in your bulletin. We come from the shadows of the night.
Into the light of God's presence.
We come from beneath the loads that we carry.
To find refuge under your wings.
We come with terror and fear.
To be raised up on eagle's wings. Let us worship in the light of love, in the shelter of the cross, and in the peace that passes our understanding.
Our first hymn is hymn number 315, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you as your people, so grateful that you are a powerful presence in our lives, and yet recognizing there are many quiet ways that you are present to us. And so we ask for the ears to find those quiet ways, for the wisdom to seek them out, and for the times that we might set aside to know you more deeply. We confess that there are times when we decide how it is you should be present in our lives and are disappointed when you don't show up as we have expected. And we have failed to seek other ways to know you. So help us in this time that we have together to be open to finding you in new and different ways. For we pray this the way you, your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that whenever we decide to start anew, God is right there with us, that God has forgiven us, God loves us, and God is with us. Amen. Our children's hymn is number 441, Can a Little Child Like Me? Knitting, yes, this is actually yarn, so we use it for knitting. What's that?
Crocheting,
yeah. Maybe to tie some things up. Well, there's one way that sometimes people use string for, and that's to remind them of something. Tie it around your finger, and well, then when you look at that string, you're supposed to remember what that thing is that you're supposed to remember. Well, this morning, I want us to think of things that we might want to remember about God or Jesus. Now, what kinds of things might we want to remember? Well, maybe we'll have to ask the moms and dads and the grandmas and grandpas. What kinds of things do we want these boys and girls to remember? Love? Jesus loves us? Yes? Homework. God wants you to do your homework. Message direct from mom. Yeah. that God offers us love and hope, and that God is with us even when things can be sad and make us mad, that there is nothing we can do that is outside of God's love. Maybe we might want to remember to say our prayers before bed or read our Bibles. Those are some of the things that we might want to remember about our spiritual life. So I'm going to put, is that all right if I tie each of your strings around you? And I'm going to give you one thing I want you to remember.
I know how to tie knots.
Yeah, okay. You know how to tie knots? So I want you to remember that Jesus loves you. All right? Now you're going to do yours? Okay. I'm going to tie, you want yours around your finger? I'm going to tie this around so you remember when things are hard. God is with you. I'm going to tie yours around. Is there anything you want to remember? Maybe you might remember some of your Bible stories by reading your Bible. You want yours on? You might want to remember that God thinks you're very special. Just like that. You might want to remember that God made you in a very special way, and God's with you. Ready? This one. Oh, you already got it tied. What do you want to remember? You think?
I love.
Yeah, that God is love. So there's many things that we can remember and many things that we can do to remind ourselves of those things. So when you look at the trees, when you look at the birds, when you see all the beautiful animals God has given us, and the sky, and the rain, and food, and mom and dads that love us, those are all special gifts from God. And you are a very special gift from God. So I hope you'll remember that. Let's say a prayer. Moms and dads can, grandmas and grandpas can repeat after us. Dear Jesus, thank you for each child here. Help us to remember that you love us, that you are close to us, and you are with us. Amen. Thanks for coming up for our time together. Let's join together and sing the last verse of that hymn.
Responsibly. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, for God will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. We will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day. A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. On your hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Those who love me, I will deliver. When they call to me, I will answer them.
Going to be reading from Jeremiah 32, chapter 32, verses 6 through 15. Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me. Hanamel, son of your uncle Shallum, is going to come to you and say, 'Buy my field that is at Anathoth, for the rights of redemption by purchase is yours.' Then my cousin Hanamel came to me in the court of the guard in accordance with the word of the Lord and said to me, 'Buy my field that is Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, for the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself.' Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field at Anathoth for my cousin Hanamel and weighed out the money to him, 17 shekels of silver. I signed the deed, sealed it, got witnesses, weighed the money on scales. Then I took the sealed deed of purchase containing the terms and conditions and the open copy, and I gave the deed of purchase to Barak, son of Nereshon of Masaniah, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, in the presence of the witnesses who signed the deed of purchase, and in the presence of all the Judeans who were sitting in the court of the guard. In their presence I charged Baruch, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put it in an earthenware jar, in order that they may last for a long time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land.'" And turning to the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 19. "Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierce themselves with many pains. Excuse me. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Jesus Christ, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, 'I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at that right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, it is he who alone who has immortality and dwells in an unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasures of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of the life that really of the life that really is life." And from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger from what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning I chose a new hymn, or at least a hymn that may be new to some of you. It's number 57. It is on Eagle's Wings. And the way we're going to do it for this Sunday is we are going to sing the chorus twice. We'll sing it once for you as a choir, and then you can join us to sing it twice. The refrain is kind of in the middle of the page. And then Renata and I are going to alternate the verses, and you will join in the choruses.
Thank you.
Well, I remember a time when Carolyn was in about grade 5, and I got to be the cool parent that went on the school trip to chaperone it. And it was up to one of the day camps. And the game that they played late in the afternoon was Capture the Flag. And for those of you not familiar with the game, there are two flags, and the opposing team must try and capture the other team's flag. And it's played over a large, large field, or sometimes over an entire camp. So there's a lot of running. And if you are tagged by the opposing team in their territory while you're on their side, you must go to jail until somebody tags you and frees you from the jail. So I had absolutely no hope of outrunning these kids. You know, I mean, some of you can identify with that. Some of you haven't gotten there yet, but that's okay. So my way of solving that problem was, even though I hadn't been tagged, I walked nonchalantly into the other person's field singing, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to jail I go." And they thought I hadn't been tagged until I went past the jail and then made a run to that flag and tried to bring it back over to the other territory. And for 30 seconds I was a hero, but they caught up with me. While I wasn't successful, it was a valiant effort. But I had to realize also that charging down the field was a lost cause, because they could see me coming and they could outrun me. I had to find another way of around the problem. Well, this morning's passage had a tension in it for me, particularly in the field where I work. See, the psalmist talks about terrible tragedies. And I'm just going to list them. He talks about the trap of a bird catcher, a very painful trap. He talks about destructive pestilence. He talks about the terrors of the night and the arrows that fly by day. Destruction that ravages at midday. Thousands will fall, 10,000s will fall. He talks about plagues. He talks about stepping on animals you really don't want to step on, namely cobras and lions. Not a good idea. And Psalm is believed was written by David. And I spent much time praying through this psalm this week. And it occurred to me that not much has changed since the writing of this psalm, almost 4,000 years ago now. While we may not have bird catchers or the snare of a fowler, we certainly have drug dealers that sell drugs that create an instant addiction. Growing up, alcohol and cigarettes were the vices of my generation, and it took some time to get addicted to them, and getting off of them, if you did get addicted, was possible. But now with the drugs that are being offered, it is just unbelievable to see the pain and the challenge of breaking through that addiction. In one jurisdiction, if you have been following the newspaper, they had so many people needing life support following taking a bad batch of drugs, they actually had to invoke their pandemic procedures to bring in all the firefighters, police, to keep these people breathing until the drugs wore off of their system. So there's still many snares for people. And we may not have arrows flying, but we certainly have bullets. And I'm trained to a level 4, if you ask me after I can show you a picture, a level 4 protective equipment, personal protective equipment for Ebola and SARS, so that I can still minister to people who are very, very ill. So deadly pestilence hasn't gone away. And I've sat at the bedside of countless patients that have been injured in all those ways. I've been in healthcare as 9/11 unfolded. I've been through countless terrifying nights. Some of you may have encountered a bear or two in your camping trips, but we're probably more concerned with the animals that we read in the newspaper. Isn't it interesting how we call people who harm others animals? And where is God when thousands of refugees clamor over borders seeking refuge? What exactly is God promising those that are injured and maimed? And as I focused on the terrors, I kind of began to sink down in my own faith and wondering, what is it I want to say this morning? But as I wrote down the terrors and the awful things, I also began to write down what the psalmist was saying God offers us. Because throughout history, God surprises people by appearing in unexpected places and unexpected ways. And the psalmist captures that. And let me just read, just as I read some of those phrases that were so depressing, let me read some of the phrases that the psalmist offers us as God's way of meeting us. God is our shelter. We are under the shadow of God. He's our refuge and our stronghold. And we sang about that this morning at the beginning, the refuge and stronghold that God is. With his pinions, with his feathers, he will cover you over. Under his wings, you will find refuge. Faithfulness will be your shield and protective wall. The Most High will be your dwelling. Your angels charge over you. God will be with you in your distress and satisfy you with long life. It's quite an opposite list, isn't it? But then I began to realize that I had stopped at God is our stronghold. He will fight for us. He's our strength. He's our wall. He's so much more. Let me go back through some of those phrases and look at them a little more closely. One translation used the word for shelter, a secret place, and I went back in the language and I realized that a secret place is actually kind of a cool way of interpreting it. How many of us as children can remember having secret places that we shared and we whispered to each other and we took them and maybe we built them? It might have been a fort in a tree. It might have been some little nook or cranny or cave that you found in the forest or the woods. Maybe it was a place under the stairs that you created for yourself. God is our secret place. In many ways, the church needs to renew itself as the best kept secret. And let's face it, the best secrets are always shared, aren't they? The shelter that God offers us is that favorite spot that you return to time and time again. Maybe it's a holiday. Maybe it's a place that we love to go. But God offers us that in a world that sometimes seems so turbulent. God also says that we are under God's shadow. And we have a cultural bias against darkness. We have made darkness the enemy. We light up our city streets to the point where we can't sleep anymore. We've believed that darkness is evil, and very much so the opposite. Darkness is very much the place that God invites us into, that God is more deeply present. So if you find yourself underneath a shadow, at least stop for a moment and say, is that the shadow of God coming closer to me? The image of a bird. God's love is his pinions covering us over. A bird covering her chicks with her wings is the symbol also of Jesus covering us over in his frailty and coming to us in human form. God continued to live into his fragile protection of his creation by sending Jesus. And when you think of it, a bird is really no match for the worst of calamities. But a bird stays with its chicks without leaving. We had a bird just outside of our house. I had an empty basket left over from the previous year's flower pot. And it was just hanging there waiting for the new flowers to come. But in the spring, a lovely mourning dove made that her nest and put her chicks there. And it was just lovely. Each morning we would come and look and see if the chicks were hatched. And at first she didn't trust us. She would fly away. And then, but once those eggs were in the nest, she would not leave it. She would make a lot of noise. She would try and scare us away. And eventually she kind of trusted that we were just peeking in to see what was going on. And she stayed in that nest until those birds left. And that's God's promise to us, that he stays with us until we are able to fly. And so under his wings we take refuge. The faithfulness will be your shield and protective wall. Sometimes we make our faithfulness our shield, not God's faithfulness. Our faithfulness says that bad things won't happen if we're God's people. God's faithfulness promises to be there with us when they do. Our faithfulness works at trying to protect ourselves by saving our money, eating the right foods, putting security cameras everywhere. But God's faithfulness trusts that we cannot go where God is not. Do you realize that if you're in downtown Toronto and having a 10-minute walk, your picture will be taken 40 times in that 10 minutes? 40 times. We're trying to make all of these protections are shield. In a world where thousands are falling and terrors are everywhere, we need the shield of God's faithfulness. The psalmist says, the Most High will be your dwelling place. And it made me think, where exactly is my address in my relationship with God? Where exactly am I living? And I think, if I'm honest with myself, I often live more often in fear, in terror, and watching the news and thinking that things are hopeless in the world and getting discouraged and frustrated. And then there's the address of anger and unforgiveness. And this is inviting me to make my new address, to send out my change of address form, to change the way I hear news in the world and saying, God is now my dwelling place. And yes, bad things are happening all around me. And they may actually happen to me as well, because it doesn't say you won't step on the lion. It doesn't say you won't step on the crowbar. It doesn't say that pestilence won't come. It doesn't say that bad things won't happen. It says that they affect us and we feel differently about them if we are working to live with the Most High God. And then the promise that angels will be given charge over us. And I'm not sure how we came to the theological conclusion that if bullets were flying, God would be my bulletproof vest. That God is super vaccine against all of the ills of this world. How did I also come to the conclusion that angels watching over me might be a good thing? Because most angels in the Bible start out by saying, "Fear not." So angels are actually quite fearful things. So first of all, anyone that arrives at my doorstep that has to start by saying, "Fear not," is probably pretty intimidating. And I have that problem when I'm making phone calls from the hospital, because I don't like to start out my phone call by saying, "Hi, this is the chaplain calling from the hospital," because then people's anxiety levels go through the roof and they're like, "What is it? You know, what happened? Are they still alive?" You know, so I usually start out by saying, "Your mother or father, whoever it is fine, and my name is, and I work in the ICU, and I'm calling to tell you about this, and I am the chaplain." Because if I start out with the chaplain, I've lost them already. The fear and the panic set in. And I learned that actually from the secretary at my daughter's school. She would always start out the phone call saying, "Your daughter is fine, I'm the school secretary calling." That's smart. This is the spiritual... Secondly, when you think about it, angels, for their reputation for bringing comfort and keeping you out of trouble, is more of a myth than a biblical truth. Think about it. The angels didn't actually always bring good news. There was only one time when they brought good news. That was the birth of Jesus Christ. The other times, they told people that they were going through a hard time or going to go through a hard time, or God had a really big plan for them in their lives that was probably going to be pretty overwhelming. Angels told Mary she was going to be an unwed mother. Angels told Joseph that Mary was pregnant. They announced the news to the shepherds on the hillside, really the only good news. Angels ministered to Jesus in the desert. Think about it. He's 40 days without food or water and in extreme distress. And then the angels come along. Really, if I'm living at the right address, that's okay. I'm okay with that. But if I'm not at the right address with the Most High God, I might be thinking, can you show up 39 days earlier with some food? They come in mourning. They come to correct. They come to call people to insurmountable tasks. So I'm thinking, before you pray for angels to watch over somebody, think about what you really want. Because I'm thinking, if an angel shows up at my door, I'm not answering. You know, you all have those people show up at your door and you're like, oh, I see their car in the driveway. They're here. What do I do with them? You should put angels into that category of people. God will be with you in your distress. The psalmist goes on to say, God will answer you when you call. And I will satisfy you with long life. You see, I don't know that the psalmist was saying that long life was the only way of seeing God's presence, but that each day we have is a gift. Each time the sun rises, we are meant to go on. Each time we get out of bed or can't get out of bed, God is giving us another day to find and to be in this world. And many of those days aren't going to be easy. And that's the piece I struggled with as I began to pull apart this psalm, is that so many times we're told in church and in sermons and in teachings on the radio is that it's going to be easier because we're God's children. But the psalmist reminds us, maybe not. Maybe not. God promises to be with us, to give us meaning and hope to go on for the next day. We began the service by singing, "A mighty fortress is our God," words taken from the psalm we read. It's a hymn that takes the image of strength and power and places it almost into a battle song format, that very important march. And yet Psalm 91 also offers us so many more images of a bird and wings, God's strength and power and in frailty, fiercely protecting his young. So my prayer for you this morning, my prayer for all of us and for myself, is that we may find the secret place. We may find shelter in God's love. When shadows come to you, may you find the comfort of knowing that God is coming near. May you feel the peace of God's protection and God's faithfulness to you. May each day your dwelling be a little bit more with the Most High. And each day be a day that the Lord has made for you. Amen. Well, the words of Timothy were, we take nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. And that how we use our resources is very important in our life with God. I would call upon the ushers to take up our morning offering. Gracious God, we acknowledge that by bringing these offerings before you, we are simply trusting you. And we ask that we might use these gifts to forward your kingdom. We live in a world with many terrors. May they be used to minister to the terror of the night. We thank you that your Son Jesus covered us over with the pinions of his wings. May we use these offerings and our service to the world to cover over many who are hurting and in need of love and protection. So as we place them on the offering table, may they be an offering that is pleasing in your sight. We thank you for Jesus who died for us. For we pray this in the precious name of Jesus our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, we come to that time in our service and we take a moment to pray for those that are amongst our midst who are in need of hurting. I know that we want to remember as the flowers are placed in the sanctuary by the Dunnett family, and they're absolutely lovely and gorgeous, and we thank you for sharing them with us and remember you in prayer. I'm going to just open it up for a moment to any others that you want to remember in prayer. If you could just say their name loudly enough so I can hear.
Mo. Kareen Young.
Sorry, I didn't get
Kareen Young.
Kareen Young?
Yes.
Okay. Chris and Diane? Lou? I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
Margaret?
Nancy?
All right. Well, I will use this psalm as one we can also use to pray for our people. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you in a time of worship when we lift before you the deepest concerns of our hearts and our minds. And we pray for those in this world that have no shelter, that are searching for a place to live, that have no place to call home. We pray for the many refugees and migrants that are pouring over borders, that are going onto boats in danger of capsizing, who wait for papers simply to travel to a new land. And we ask that you would comfort and keep them. We ask for open hearts to welcome them and pray for countries that are receiving them, that they might find new hope and new life. We pray for all those in this congregation that long to be under the shadow of your love. And we place them underneath the pinions of your wings. We think of those that we have named, for Kenaya Young, for Chris and Dave, for Margaret, and for Nancy. And we pray for the Dennett family this morning in their grief. We ask that your wings might warm them, shelter them, and give them comfort. We also think of all the places where walls are being built, where shields are up, where people are fighting. We think of political parties. We think of physical walls that keep people out. And we ask that those walls might be replaced with your faithfulness. That those walls that are keeping people separate and keeping people away from hope might be broken down and replaced with the faithfulness of you, O God. We thank you that angels do watch over us. And when they come to us, may we be opened to your words, of the words that you offer us, the things that you are calling us to, the messages that you want us to receive. We ask, Lord, that you would watch over Pastor Bruce this week, that as he comes back to work, that you would be with him, that you would comfort and keep him in your care. We also think of all those in distress. You have promised that when we call to you, you will answer. So we lift all those to you that are in our hearts and minds, those that we know that are sad, those that we know are lonely and isolated, those that are far away, those who are struggling with addiction issues, with mental health, for the many that are searching. As we come to that time when we close our service, may we carry your love with us, just as we tied strings on the children. May we, in our hearts and minds, be constantly reminded of all the ways that you are present to us, O God. Amen. Our final hymn is also words from Psalm 91, and let us make these words that we sing to each other as we leave this place.
Thank you.
I can't think of a more beautiful prayer to offer each other than to say, God be with you till we meet again. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever.